Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama. Smooth drama.
Alrighty, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host Dick Hugger and my girl Butter Pecan. She's en route. She'll be joining us shortly tonight. Wanted to welcome you back to the show. Hope everybody had a good weekend. And I hope that you enjoyed tonight's game. I know my homies on the West Coast, y'all wasn't loving it. But, of course, I'm an unabashed Laker hater. So I'm screaming it loud. I'm not a Magic fan, but I'm proud anyway. I'm just happy that they got their ass tossed tonight. Even if it was a 3-point victory, whatever. I don't care. Lakers going down. I said it. I'm going to keep saying it because I'm a Laker hater. Anyway, I'm going to start off talking about a subject that was weird. I know everybody's heard about David Carradine from Kung Fu and most recently Kill Bill lore and how he died, whatnot. Well, just his death was a little different. For those who don't know, David Carradine was found dead in his hotel in Thailand. And, of course, the police were saying it was accidental suffocation and not suicide. Because his body was found in a hotel closet in a hotel room with a rope tied to his neck, wrist, and genitals. At first, they said suicide, of course, as everybody knows, but now it's coming out that he may have been engaged in a sex act. It's known as autoerotic asphyxiation, where I guess it involves temporarily cutting off the oxygen to the brain to heighten the effects of a sexual climax. Now, my problem with this is, it's crazy. Where you have a guy who is basically he's trying to get a nut. He died trying to get a nut. I don't know how you can get past that one. Not to demean the dead. Because obviously, it's a shame that people died, but, you know, he died prematurely. I guess it's one of those things that if you're going to die, you're going to go out like that. He went out the right way. He definitely didn't go out the wrong way. For sure. Yeah. So, for those who didn't know, David Carradine was 72 years old. of Kung Fu and Kill Bill fame. And, of course, it was always the greatest line to me was when he was talking about Superman and whatnot. And I guess he was trying to be Superman. And that's David Carradine at his finest. Well, not at his finest, but David Carradine. Rest in peace, bruh. I hope that nut was satisfying. You know. Although, I'm going to say that what happened to just getting a regular nut? Regular nuts are cool, too. Anyway, speaking of nuts, right here in San Diego, we had a student doing a prank. And what makes it bad is he's an honor student. He did let me give you the background on this guy, because it's not inconceivable, because I guess it's inevitable that we just have to say teenagers are stupid. But this guy was a high school honor student. He had been awarded Air Force ROTC scholarship. And I guess he wanted to, you know, play a practical joke on school and whatnot. And homie made a dozen homemade bombs and brought them to school and set them in trash cans all around the school and blew them up, which I guess teenagers think that kind of thing is funny, but grown-ups and the rest of the world don't. And so my man is in jail as of Saturday on $860,000 bail. Name, Elfbert LaFortiza. I know I'm destroying his name, but Elfbert, dude, why? You had your whole future. Whatever happened to stink bomb? You know, a stink bomb. Those would have worked just fine. You could put stink bombs all around and thrown stink bombs and just made it stink. And at best, people would have laughed at you. But live bombs, in lieu of 9/11, in lieu of terrorists bombing all around the world, you'd have thought you'd have better judgment. But just goes to show you, you can be book smart, but that doesn't necessarily make you smart. It just means that you can memorize things very well, because obviously homie was not in the right frame of mind. Well, he wasn't logically thinking. So, y'all know, here it's Smooth Drama. And, you know, first I want to give you a chance, if anybody wants to call in, you can call us here at 646-929-2037. Or if you want to talk about something and you're afraid to call, you can email us at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And also, you want to stay connected with us, you want to send in your topics, whatever, you want to stay connected to us, future events, you can text the word smoothdrama to the number 41411 from your mobile device, as well as you go to our website, www.smoothdrama.com, go to the store. You know, I'm still waiting on the thong contest. I'm not seeing it. It's hurting my feelings. But I guess I'll survive, I guess. But y'all really hurting me, ladies. Dick Hugger is just asking for a thong contest. I don't need nothing serious, you know. Nothing racing, just regular old thong. It's fine by me. Anyway, back to the show. You know, I've been on the love movement lately, you know, because I'm, of course, about making love, not war, and not doing stupid stuff like blowing up trash cans and whatnot. Anyhow, we try to highlight every week and not always talk about negativity, but we want to talk about some positive things that happen out here in the world. One of the things we first started off, of course, with the Kenyan women who said they wanted to stop a civil war that was potentially, you know, violence that was potentially going to happen, and so they abstained from sex to prove a point for a week, and were subsequently sued by the men, well, one of the men in the country. But of course it worked because guys came to the table and negotiated. So that was our first case of the love movement. Second, we talked about a preacher down in Texas who, instead of passing the plate and taking the money from the plate from the people, he actually passed the plate and told people to take money from there because he understood that it's hard times. And now, I want to talk about down in Mobile, Alabama. There's a local hotel that houses the homeless, which in itself, I mean, that's a nice and noble thing, but these guys took it to another level because what they did is they turned a Ramada Inn into a mobile hotel, and what they do there is there's 131 rooms at the hotel. 30 of them are allocated for the employee program that they have there for the homeless. The hotel's general manager, whose name is April Williams, said what they do is they temporarily house homeless folks on a limited basis, and they show them how to work with people in an actual work setting. It's like a training program where they bring them in, and the hotel, which doesn't have a name currently, they staff 13 homeless workers. And in exchange for the work, the homeless are given a room to stay in job training, which I think is very, very fair. And they learn hospitality, customer service, computers. They learn to make beds, sheetrock, and pool maintenance. And everybody does everything, and they cross-train everyone. And so despite, you know, not getting paid, whatnot, they benefit. I mean, because one, we're talking about as a homeless individual, not that I've ever been one, but as a homeless individual, you are given the opportunity to, one, work, and two, learn a skill, and you get to stay in a stable environment while you get yourself back on your feet. And so I want to I want to commend the nameless hotel which used to be a Ramada Inn on, where is it at, 255 Church Street. They're doing good. You're doing good work down there, and you are definitely helping people and making you know, you're doing good by people, and good things will come to you because you're doing good things like that. Now, I want to commend those people and General Manager April Williams and all those who were involved there, because I think that's a noble thing. You know, we talk about so many negative things, and we never talk about the good things. We never talk about how to rehabilitate people and help get people back on the right track. You know, this is helping people get on the right track. And I think, you know, here in America especially, we definitely need more of that, where you're talking about hotels that could I know a lot of them about profit, but sometimes you can profit in building up the people. Just a thought. And on that note, we're going to take a station identification break, and we'll be right back with some more smooth drama.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
Smooth drama.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Rolling solo tonight so far, waiting on my co-host. She's in the wind, but she should be calling in here anytime now. Once again, if you want to talk, there's something that we're talking about here you want to discuss, you can give us a call at 646-929-2037. Or, of course, if you're a little too shy, you don't want to get on the phone, you can drop us an email at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. And if you want to keep up to date with current events, new things we got going, things we got in the wind, you can text us from your mobile device. You can text the word smooth drama to the number 41411. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, you know, we're talking about the love movement and how we like to talk about things that are done right by people, human stories that are touching and whatnot. This story right here from my favorite state, most people know who listen to this show know I have a special affinity for Florida. Something about Florida in the water, whatever. Crazy stuff goes on down there. Or maybe I just got a Florida bias. I don't know. There's a former teacher who was fired and behind bars, but she's still getting paid. Ex-teacher Charlene Schmitz. You know, she's behind bars in the federal detention center in Tallahassee, Florida, serving 10 years for using text and instant messages to seduce a 14-year-old student. And Miss Schmitz, she makes $51,000 a year, even though she's been fired and is in prison. You know, she was fired from her job as a reading teacher in Leroy, Alabama, and she's appealing her federal conviction and firing. The the state charges, which were filed, are pending. And I guess under the law down in Alabama, she is still entitled to her $51,000 a year salary while she appeals her firing. And, you know, of course, the school officials aren't happy that they have to pay her and the replacement, even though her ass is fired, which seems a little illogical to me, because we're talking about a woman who is potentially, well, she's not potentially, she is in jail for basically trying to seduce, rape a minor. She was found guilty on Valentine's Day in 2008, and I guess the school board had sent the teacher a notice of its intent to terminate her, and they officially fired her at a meeting in March of last year. And I guess the law has good intentions, because the law was basically put in for to protect teachers so that they wouldn't be unlawfully fired, like you get into it with a principal or some staff or whatnot in your tenure. You know, you wouldn't be unfairly treated. You would have a chance to appeal the firings with not. Well, unfortunately, it's a unique situation. You're locked up in jail, but you're still getting your money. And as most of you know, appeals can go on for, hell, years. So she's looking at maybe even appealing all the way up to the Supreme Court. And from there, the appeal's going to just keep going and going and going, and it's going to be delayed years and maybe even for the majority of her 10 years. So we're talking about she's going to make almost, what, we talking about $300,000, $400,000 while she's chilling in the jail cell. Now, I don't know about y'all, but to me, that is some sick shit. The fact that she can make money and be a criminal, I mean, after committing a criminal act, and though it she's appealing it, I mean, but the instant messages, whatnot, text to 14-year-olds in a seductive way, not that we've seen them, but I think I for it that she did it. You know, I don't know. There's just something wrong with that picture. And it's like, and that's the bad thing. You have laws that are set up to protect people, but somehow all the laws that are set up to protect the innocent always seem to protect the guilty. I don't know. Maybe we should do like this next woman out here in the Murrieta area in California. She took it to the next level. Well, she didn't take it to the next level. Officers arrested 32-year-old Ronald McGowan of West Covina. It don't matter. Mr. McGowan is a registered sex offender. And the reason how he got arrested was a Marietta woman bit off his tongue, and he was arrested at the emergency room where he went for treatment. You know, the police found the suspect's tongue at the woman's apartment Friday morning, and the woman had injuries consistent with a violent assault. And so the officers arrested Ronald McGowan of West Covina. And I guess they, after the physicians at Rancho Springs Medical Center, couldn't reattach his tongue. So, Mr. Wouldn't Be Racist, got your tongue bit off. What you got to say about that? Oh, can't say nothing. Oh, the irony of it all. No tongue kisses for you in jail. Oh, well, I guess that's some bad taste, huh? He probably won't need the tongue anyway, where he's going. Huh? I guess he won't be going for that spectacular kiss again, huh? All right. Yeah, that was a little crazy, but I don't know. That was like Old Testament. You want to try to rape me? I'm biting off your goddamn tongue. So whoever you are, Miss, I'm not advocating violence, but good job. Good job. And enjoy that tongueless experience, Mr. McGowan. May the tongue gods not be with you. Ooh, all right. Now, you know, we've been talking lately about, everybody knows about the budget crisis. All over the United States, it's ridiculous. You know, the real estate market is dried up. You know, so many problems. We're trying to get back on our feet. You know, and it's slow and painstaking. The economy is at a crawl right now, but you know, we're trying to dig ourselves out of the big hole that was created and that people helped create. But this next story, just, it makes no damn sense. You know, a guy could lose his house over $50 in unpaid taxes. Now, this guy, the city of Bridgeport, is foreclosing on Gene Castro's home because of $51.69 in unpaid taxes. Last week, a judge okayed the foreclosure, and the home will be sold in December. Now, yes, the city had sent Castro a notice that he owed back taxes, and he forwarded it to his mortgage company, which pays his property taxes. The mortgage company, the mortgage paid $3,000 in back taxes, leaving a $51 balance. And so I guess the bank said it was going to take care of the back taxes. And that's the last he knew of it. That's what Mr. Castro told the Connecticut Post. And by the time he learned about the $51 payment, it was too late because the foreclosure had started and the city had racked up more than $3,000 in legal costs and fees, the city lawyer said. Now, I'm sorry. And, Pop, If you're listening, please turn it down because I'm about to say some stuff I don't want Mama to hear. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What kind of bullshit is that? That is the worst shit that I've heard. Now, granted, Mr. Castro shouldn't have left it up to the bank. He should have at least double-checked because, obviously, you know, it is your house and you do have to be the final say on these matters. But to take a man's house, to foreclose on a man's house for $51.69, I'm like, is it really that serious? Really? This is a story that makes no goddamn sense whatsoever. That's the dumbest shit that I've heard. He loses his house over $51 in back taxes. $51. Not $51,000. Not $510,000. Not $5 million. $51. All these fees racked up, $3,000 fees that they racked up. I don't know. There's something to be said about the inefficiency that surrounds cases like this. It boggles my mind that these kind of things can happen. And people can lose their homes over something this petty, especially nowadays. And we're not talking about a guy that was, like, in arrears on the mortgage or anything like that. So, it's just hard when you hear stuff like that. But then we go, like here in California, especially. Californians are, you know, asked to make cuts. There was mandatory 10% cuts across the board on workers' salaries. You know, we fired such and such amount of teachers. We closed all these schools, we close these parks. I mean, we cutting education in places, safe havens for the kids and whatnot, and cutting the pay of the county and city workers across the board, across the state. In the meantime, state lawmakers who are even now discussing the end of the welfare to work programs and eliminating health insurance for like 1 million children from low income families, the majority of them are still depositing their checks. And 4 out of 5 lawmakers are accepting the full pay of $116,208 that they make. And on top of that, you know these suckers, they get a $35,000 living expenses per diem and car allowances and mileage. Now, supposedly, 17 representatives have rejected the car, and 6 have turned down the per diem. But still, the fact that nobody is taking the money away from these guys who are making high end money, not low-end money, high-end money. And nobody's talking about them taking 10% cuts. Now, of course, here in California, for the rest of the world, no. Here in California, the citizens in May, we voted for California Citizens Compensation Commission. They voted to cut lawmakers' salary by 18%. But that's not taking effect because the commission can't authorize pay cuts during the lawmakers' terms. So the earliest lawmakers will see a reduction in pay would be like December 2010. Ain't that funny? You can't cut their pay during the lawmakers' term, but they can cut city, county, state workers' pay across the board anytime they want. Now, does that make sense? Makes no sense to me. What's the word I'm looking for? Flabbergasted? Nope. Not flabbergasted at all. It's appalling, actually. It's a damn shame. How in the hell can you cut people, you know, who are living check to check, you know, who depend, taking care of families, whatnot, but you fat cat. And see, this is what, you know, I don't understand when people walk around with these blinders on. They don't mind that prosperous people can stay prosperous, but you care when you say, "Oh, the Mexicans, they're coming over, they're taking our jobs, they're climbing fences, you know, and they're here and they're getting the health care and they're getting this and they're getting that." Man, nobody gets health care for washing dishes. Nobody gets health care for cutting grass. Last time I checked, you got to have a full-time job and hope that your job offers benefits. You know, these dudes ain't getting no money. They're not making no real money. I don't know nobody. And I know I lived in the hood. I lived in, quote-unquote, a mini suburb in my time. I don't know too many people that was trying to live on the street, selling oranges, 35 people in the house, whatnot. Now, of course, immigration, that's a big issue, but you're talking about small fry, because obviously these fat cats are the ones who are doing all of the stealing. You know, they're the ones that's getting all the money. Matter of fact, speaking of fat cats spending the money, San Diego councilman Frank Vista, out of Vista. I know I'm really local today, but this is a story just got to be touched on. This dude is under investigation. And I'm going to say his name again, Frank Lopez Jr., a councilman out of Vista, California, is suspecting of hiring illegal immigrants to work at his Casa Linda restaurant, and also he and his wife are accused of writing more than 100 bad payroll checks to their employees. Now, of course they're saying, did they know the checks were bad when they were written? If so, that's a felony. The DA's office is supposed to be making a determination. Now, I don't know about a lot of people out there, but anybody who's ever written a check and checked their bank accounts and whatnot, you know whether or not you got the money in the bank or not. Now, this dude, Councilman Frank Lopez Jr., is a despicable human being. One, you should be mad at him because he's hiring these illegal immigrants, right? He's part of the problem. If he wasn't hiring them, they wouldn't be coming over here to work, right? You gonna holler at Mr. Lopez? One. Two, he's hiring them and he's writing them bad checks. Damn. Homie's already over here illegally and he's already getting this slush fund money, whatnot. You know, he's a councilman. And he's not paying the homies that he's hiring illegally. He getting over on both ends. Now, who's going to call this dude to task? Nobody calls these dudes to task. Now, if I'm the Mexican homie, and I know about me, but if I'm working there, I cash the check, I deposit the check, and that shit comes up insufficient funds, I'm coming to see you, homie. You best believe, Mr. Lopez, we going to have an indecent conversation. It's not going to be that nice because I'm out there busting my ass, washing these dishes at 500 degrees in the kitchen. I'm sweeping, cooking, whatever, and I'm not getting paid. Shit. It's on like Donkey Kong. And that's for the people not here just in California, but all over the United States, all over the world. Look. If they ain't treating you right, they ain't paying you what you're worth, look, we got to come together as people and understand on the working man level that we have rights too. We're not here to just be walked on. You know, I pay taxes. Shit. I pay taxes. I know that's all the free street light and whatever the hell. Well, we get the grass cut at the park. I can go to the park and whatnot. But at least I have the opportunity to do it. You know, this, it's a shame that people in power and who make the money will make more money than the normal people. They can get all these great benefits, and their families can get all these great benefits, but they never get taken to task. We always look at the people who don't get a lot. We never look at the people who get a lot. Now I'm wondering, is that just American greed or shit? We just don't give a damn. I don't know. We go on the station identification break. We can think about that for a second.
Together you guys, smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Unfortunately, looks like my homegirl, Butter Pecan, is not going to make it, but we're going to move on. We shall strive to be as smooth as possible. We're going to bring the drama later. Anyhow, talking, you know, I'm on my soapbox, as Butter likes to say, but I don't really think I'm on a soapbox. I think I'm just talking some common sense here, some stuff that just makes sense, you know. Sort of like Sister Margaret Anthony down in Florida, Miami, Florida. We're going to talk about these. Let me hold myself back. I'm not going to insult the police because I don't want y'all stopping me every 2 minutes. But cops who charged her misdemeanor charges, disorderly conduct, and obstruction of justice when she jumped in front of the cops because she wouldn't let the police shoot or beat a homeless man. You know, it said the nun stepped in front of the police as they were dealing with a man who was waving a knife in an ice pick. The police said she was loud, she was belligerent, she was defiant. Delrish Moss of the Miami Police Department is described as saying. I guess this happened Monday morning in front of the Missionaries of Charity Shelter where Sister Margaret works. The officer said that the nun, and to mind you, this is a nun we're talking about. We're not talking about just a crazy homeless woman on the street. This is a nun in front of a missionary, which is there to help individuals, the homeless individual. And so I guess, and I'm going to piece this together from the little facts that I have here. The police accosting the homeless guy. Homeless guy, you know, don't want to be bothered. Now, it's not a lot of us that have been homeless. I can't pretend to say that I was ever homeless or anything like that. But a homeless guy having a knife or an ice pick is not necessarily a reach because, hey, it's dangerous out there being homeless. Folks is trying to rob you and jack you and whatnot. And, you know, you just got to protect yourself. You know, we're in America, the most violent country in the world. So sometimes you got to have what you got to have. Do your thing. Make sure nobody don't jack you up, whatever. Anyhow, I believe, this is just me, my interpretation, police saw the homeless guy, whatnot, and accosted him, whatnot. You got to move on, whatever. And sister, who probably sees this homeless guy a lot, being that he probably comes to the missionary, jumps in front, and the police don't like being made a fool of or made to look silly, so they arrest the nun. And mind you, this was in Florida. I'm just going to say it again. This was in Florida. Miami, Florida. Now, I know my boy we talked to, Plush Entertainment, last week. They like, nah, it ain't all crazy like that, but I'm just saying, it's something down there in Florida, y'all arresting nuns for trying to help somebody. You think on that. A nun got arrested for trying to help a homeless guy by the cops. Just food for thought. Florida, thumbs up to you, baby. You guys are great. Miami PD, you know, I know y'all trying to live up to that smooth shit in that horrible movie, Miami Vice, but that's not too cool. I just want to say that. Anyway, I'm going to move to a story that's really, really, really disgusting. Down in Pennsylvania, a whistleblower, Tom Kosecki, who worked for the Nancy Glow Sewer Authority for years, said the borough started dumping old asbestos pipes besides the Nancy Glow Park and Pool in the 1970s. During that time, he said, the crews crushed up the pipes and buried them. before they knew about the health risks of asbestos. But the dumping continued, and I guess there are currently truckloads of the crushed asbestos pipes just inches beneath the surface of the ground. And he said there's even some that was buried by borough contractors just in the last few years. Now, aside from the fact that it's like a camping area and a playground on the dumping location, there's also a stream that flows into, I guess the place is called Davis Run, which is a popular fishing place. Now, I want to say that the place where this asbestos dumping is going on is over in Cambia County Park, which is located in Pennsylvania. And I guess the runoff of the contaminated asbestos and sludge is going into the water. And now, you know, I guess it may be shocking for us to hear about some things like that, although I would suspect that this kind of thing happens in a lot of the cities in America. It's just one of those things that just doesn't get talked about. But they said the residents have said for years they've asked the borough officials and the Department of Environmental Protection to clean up the contamination with no success, of course, because, hey, we don't live here, so I guess it don't matter. They said that there are a lot of landowners over there who have the contaminated fill on their properties, and it's covered with about 6 to 8 inches of topsoil. And that's it. And this wasn't one, I'm sure that wasn't a highlight when they were trying to sell the houses and the properties over there. And it has called to the mayor and the Department of Environmental Protection weren't immediately returned. Not that I'd be shocked by that, because obviously nobody cares about the environment, especially if it's not an environment that you have to live in. But still, you know, you gotta wonder what are people thinking. You know, I mean, this is your asbestos, and as most folks know, that asbestos is poisonous, cause cancer, whatnot. You know, so you're poisoning a whole generation and future generations of people. You know, you think that they'd be more diligent on that, you think. But I guess it's one of those things nobody cares about. You know, I guess hidden stuff is better than the things that you can actually see, like over there in Hong Kong, where they had the, I guess this is the third attack in 6 months. There's a, yes, there were people who have been throwing acid at people in public. Yes, someone threw a bottle of acid from the top of a building, injuring 24 pedestrians in a shopping district. And I guess this acid was thrown from a building in Hong Kong's Mong Kok district. Mong Kok. That's just a funny name. I shouldn't be saying stuff like that, but that's just a funny name. Mong Kok. Rhymes with. Anyway. Police have said this incident, which happened Monday, was the third such attack in the Mong Kok district in the last 6 months. Police haven't ruled out that this is the work of the same person. But as this most recent attack, it occurred on what they call Nielsen Street over there, where the bottle containing corrosive acid was thrown from the top of the building, and people were treated for burns. They were hit with two bottles in the same area. And I'm like, what kind of sick individual do you have to be out here throwing acid at me? I mean, what is that shit? I mean, you terrorist? I mean, okay, this just, that shit just fun. Throwing acid at people is just fun. Ah, look at them burn. Ha, 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 ha. I don't know. Some crazy folks out here. Y'all have to tell me something different, cause I don't even understand this one at all. I mean, I don't get it. There's no political nothing to it. No practical joke like the new teenager practical. Maybe it's Chinese teenagers, Hong Kong, just think shit's funny to burn folks with acid. I'm gonna guess that the people who are getting burned probably don't think that shit's funny. And if they catch y'all, I hope they burn your dicks off. Just pour some acid on their nuts. Just burn their nuts off. Just let them watch their nuts just get burnt off. Seriously. Burn their nuts off. That's what should happen to people who throw acid at innocent people just for the sake of throwing it. You're some sick bastard. Yeah, you know, that's it. Now, last story real quick. Out of Nigeria. It's just sad today, huh? I'm just talking about sad stuff. I guess Shell did a $15.5 million payout to settle a lawsuit that was brought out against it by relations of an executed Nigerian writer, Ken Sarowiwa, and other activists. This was brought about by others in 1996 when they accused Shell's Nigerian subsidiary of complicity in Mr. Wiwa's 1995 hanging and the killing and persecution of other environmental activists in the Niger Delta. I guess the Nigeria's Ogoni people have complained for years that Shell was allowed to pollute its land without consequences. Now, you see how we can draw that line where they are polluting on all sides of the world and don't really give a damn. And I guess they got to pay $15.5 million to the Nigerian people. And I guess it's supposed to go into a trust fund to help the people of the region. I don't know what the hell that is. But I guess, you know, $15.5 million is supposed to unpollute the land. I don't know. But it seems to me like those people over there in Nigeria got a raw end of the deal, but they got some money. But the people in Pennsylvania, who's going to fix that? Probably not ever going to get fixed or talked about. You know, we got one Earth, people. We should take care of it, because I don't know if we're going to get another one or they're going to let us go to the other Earth that they find. With that note, I'm Dick Hugger, speaking for my girl Butter Pecan that's not here. I'm out. Look forward to hollering at y'all Thursday. We should be back to full strength. And so, with that, I bid you adieu, peace, all that other stuff. Dick Hugger, I'm out, baby. We'll be right back.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.